Well, this morning we're continuing in our group of messages where we're talking about prayer. I'm going to give Caleb his coffee since that way I don't drink as I'm here. And we're talking about prayer, and prayer is really just an amazing thing. It's a gift that God has given us to be able to connect with Him. And if you remember, Jesus said that he's a holy Father, meaning that He's set apart. There's none like Him. But yet He says, I want you to be able to approach Me. I want you to bring your concerns. I want you to bring your joy. And I want you to bring the good times of life. And I want you to bring those to Me. And I want you to come into My presence. And He says, and as you come into My presence, don't forget that I'm your Father. Don't forget that I know everything that you're going through. Don't forget that I know and I can see all the stress that you're under and all the anxieties that you have. Don't forget, I know what you need even before you're going to even open your mouth. And prayer is a beautiful thing because it strengthens our faith, but it also gets us into the presence of God. The more that we pray, the closer to God we are. And the more that we pray, the more rest and peace that we have in this earth. Now, if you remember, Jesus has been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and I put that out as a challenge for you guys to read over the next several weeks. It's an amazing teaching from Christ where it's talking about really there's two kingdoms that are happening at the same time. There's an earthly kingdom, and then there's this heavenly kingdom, which is an overarching kingdom, and this heavenly kingdom is a kingdom that goes on forever and ever, but this earthly kingdom is just a short time. There's a time limit on it. But then he says, since you and I, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't, then you're going to hear why we love Jesus this morning. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have this incredible thing on earth. You get to live in the kingdom of heaven right now. Meaning that what the work that Jesus did on the cross, all of a sudden our citizenship is no longer this earth, it's in heaven, and we have something greater to look forward to. Not that we ignore this earth and what's going on, but we live differently. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is really about, is how to become kingdom people and how to live in this earth with a kingdom mindset. And it's a completely upside down kingdom. Jesus says that you're supposed to love your enemy. You're supposed to pray for your enemy. If somebody hurts you, you're supposed to turn the other cheek and let him hit the other cheek. Jesus says that if you look at a woman with lust, you're committing adultery. I see. He says God's standard is a lot higher, and he says this is kingdom living. And as Jesus gets kind of wrapping up all these teachings, you have this moment where Jesus begins to teach the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is an incredible prayer, but it's not a prayer that's a model that we're to follow when we pray. But this is what Jesus says. This is how you are to pray. Meaning this is the way that you come into the presence of this holy, hallowed, set apart God. And how you approach Him. And if you have your Bibles, if you want to open up to Matthew chapter 6 with me, Matthew chapter 6, and this is the Lord's Prayer. And I want you guys to just read this. It's going to be on the screen because I know some of you may have King James, some of you may have NASB, but this is NIV. So we're saying the same thing because I know it gets really confusing because some of you memorized different versions. So I want you to read this with me. And verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the incredible prayer that Jesus has just said, it's a simple prayer. But it's a very powerful prayer. And what we've been doing over the last weeks, we've been just kind of taking a section of it. And the first section, if you remember, is our Father who art in heaven. That's what I always remember it as. I can't get out of that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I mean, Jesus is saying, just remember when you approach God, He's a holy God. Get the mindset and the heart set right when you go into His presence and go, God, you're not my buddy. You're not my friend. You're other than me. You are the one and only God. And Jesus says, just keep that in mind, but then also keep in mind that He's your Father, meaning that he's intimate. He knows you. He knows every hair that you have on your head. And then he said, then the next phrase that we looked at last week is, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you remember, that's just a powerful verse. It's reminding us that this world and our lives aren't about us. It's all about God. I know in our mindset, we think it's all about me, it's all about what I can get when we go into prayer, but God says it's not. It's all about His will be done. His will is being done in heaven. He says, now I want my will done on earth. And when you guys, when we pray, we're supposed to be praying that God's will would be done in our lives. That whatever circumstance we find ourselves, that we say, okay, God, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to ask that your will would be done and that your kingdom would come here. And for, I said that you and I are part of the kingdom of God, and we're part of the kingdom of God on earth. God has placed His Spirit in those who believe. And you are supposed to be a little bit of the kingdom of heaven wherever you find yourself. At your workplace, you are supposed to bring a little bit of the kingdom of heaven down right there. And you say, wait, my workplace isn't more like the other place. It's not a very good place to be. It's very toxic. Well, you're supposed to be a little bit of heaven right there in the kingdom of heaven. You're supposed to be different and showing the world that we're different. The church, not the building, but the church, when the people assemble together, this place is the kingdom of heaven where God comes down to earth and meets with us. And we want people to come in and recognize that the kingdom of heaven is here, that God is moving. God's alive. He's not a dead God. He's an active God. And His will is going to be done here. And then now we're going to move into the next phrase. And the next phrase, I think, is so powerful. And it's a short phrase. It's in verse 11. It said, give us, and I think you ought to underline the next word, today our daily bread. Six short words. But they're very powerful words. What Jesus is trying to say through this phrase is simply this. That He is enough for today. Do you believe that He's enough for today? The struggle that you're in, the needs that you have, what you're facing, your job circumstances, your family circumstances, do you believe that He's enough for today? Because he says, give us today our daily bread. And it's today that He's enough for today. And a lot of us keep focusing on tomorrow. We focus on the future. We focus on Friday. We focus on next month, the next year. And we focus on all those things. And Jesus says, don't focus on all those things. Focus on today, because my promise is today, and today my promise is in today, that I am going to be your daily bread. I am going to be more than enough. I'm going to be everything that you need. The breath that you have, I am going to give you. The problem with us is we're always thinking about the future. We're always thinking about okay, God, I need you to do this because I'm starting to worry about this. And Jesus is simply saying, when we go into prayer, we got to shift our mind thinking. We have to start focusing on today. What is God doing today? What promise has He promised you that He's going to give you the daily bread for today? Some of you have some marriages that are struggling. Some of you have some just so much hurt that from your past that you're so overwhelmed you don't even know how to deal with it. And God says, I'm enough for right now. Some of you struggle with pornography. Some of you struggle with other addictions. And you're going, you know, I'm really struggling with it. God, I want tomorrow. I don't want to struggle with this. God says, I'm enough for today. Face today. Because in the promise is today that He's going to give you enough bread to get through it. Instead of focusing on what's going to happen off in the future, focus on today. Now I imagine when the people were sitting in the audience of that time, those Israelite people probably automatically went back to the Old Testament story of when they got delivered from Egypt. And they, if you remember that story, some of you know that story. And it's an amazing moment where God heard His people crying. They were slaves in captivity in Egypt. They had taskmasters over them. They were living in darkness and there was hopelessness. And they began to cry out to God. And God saw their needs and He was moved. And He brings a deliverer, a guy named Moses. And Moses is used to deliver the people from Egypt and deliver them into the presence of God. We always think that God wants to move them into the promised land. What you're going to see today is a lot different. He wants to give you the daily bread, which He wants to give you His presence. God has always intended for the Hebrew people that were in Egypt to be in His very presence. And that's what His wish is for us every single day. And there's this moment where the people, now they go through the Red Sea, they're delivered from Pharaoh, then they get out into the desert and they begin to wander. And then they get hungry. And they begin to say this, God, what are you going to give us to eat? God, what are you going to provide for this day, our daily bread? We need something to eat because we're starting to starve. I mean, you brought us out of Egypt, so we're just going to all die out here. So they're kind of murmuring and whining and complaining. And sometimes, you know, that desert area, it's sometimes for us, the troubles of life get so overwhelming that we murmur and complain and we miss the promises of God. But they're murmuring and complaining, and Moses kind of is getting a little fed up, going, oh, these people. God, you gave me these people. This is all they do is murmur and complain. And then what happens is he goes to God and he says, okay, this is what they need. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 16, verses 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and to gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And what God gave them these instructions of what they're supposed to do each day. They were supposed to get up each day and they were supposed to gather enough food just for that day. And God said, I'm going to provide this food for you. And it's a thing called manna, which is called, what is it? So they open their tents on that next day, and then all of a sudden the whole ground is covered with this white substance called what is it? And some guy goes out there and grabs a hold of it, and hey, this is pretty good. This is what God gave us, and they start to gather it up. But God said, only gather enough for what you need for today. Don't store it for the future. Don't get so focused on your needs and your wants for tomorrow, because I am a God that provides each day. And you have to rely on my provision. But there's people there that were just like you and I. They're like going, well, wait a minute. We were hungry. I wonder if God is going to provide more tomorrow. I wonder if he's going to come through for us. So what they started to do, they started to gather additional jars of this manna. And they began to try to store it up for themselves. And they put it on their shelves in their home. And to their surprise and God's sense of humor, they woke up to jars full of maggots. And God's saying, I want you to trust me. In this day, I'm more than enough. I'm enough to get you through every single struggle, every single want, not want, but need that you have. And he says, but you got to trust for my provision. And these Israelite people, they constantly battled with this. But God wanted them to know it wasn't about the manna. It wasn't about getting into the promised land, but it was, do you trust me to provide? Do you trust that I'm going to meet your needs in every single moment? And God kept walking them through these incredible moments where he would instruct them and grow them, because he wants to bring them into his presence. Now, there's a verse that I came across in Hebrews chapter 13, and it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I thought that was interesting. Because you and I are so focused on yesterday, and we're focused on tomorrow, aren't we? Do you see that there's not a promise here of a tomorrow, is there? There's a promise that God is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and then it says forever. Well, yesterday is we can look back through all the books of the Bible, we can look back in our lives, and we can see God's faithfulness. We can see his unfailing love. We can see how he provides. And today, we can look into today, and we can see that today he has promises for us. And those promises are for today. Those promises expire tomorrow. Did you know that? Because those promises today aren't meant for tomorrow. And in fact, this tells us that nobody's even promised a tomorrow. You might not wake up tomorrow. You might not be on this earth tomorrow. But then it says that he's the same forever, meaning that one day, that if you leave this earth and your tomorrow doesn't come, that he's the same, he's unfailing. If you have him as your Savior, you have heaven and eternity with him forever, and you experience his unfailing love and provision for the rest of your life. But it's like Jesus and God are trying to get us to focus on the promises today. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop thinking about the future. Live in today and know that I am more than enough for you right now, right here. So I know it's hard to do because we worry, don't we? We think about the future. We think about all the problems. We think about all the stresses. We think about how the outcome of this. And we worry and we fret. And I think Jesus in that simple verse is saying, I'm enough. You don't have to fret. We have so many people that have anxiety. We have so many people that have stress. So many people that are worked up about things that aren't even going to happen. And Jesus keeps saying, come on, in me, when you trust in me, your daily bread, you're going to get some rest. You're going to have some peace because my promise is for today. And if you focus on me today, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because I am going to be the same tomorrow. Because I am a God that is the same. My promises are going to come true tomorrow, but tomorrow's promises are different than today's promises. Because tomorrow, you're going to need something completely different. Do you know what this is? Somebody said a purse in first service. It's a lunchbox. Now, in my day and age, we didn't have these fancy lunchboxes. We had those steel things. I have to confess, I had Bambi. Yep, I had Bambi sheets too. I don't know why, but I just love Bambi. And, you know, in that box, you know, there's things in that box that were put in that box to get me through the day. Maybe you've never taken a lunch. Maybe you eat out all the time. Maybe you should try a lunchbox, because in that way you're not thinking about what you're going to eat this afternoon. It's all right there. So when you get up in the morning and you start packing a lunch, you know, you're not thinking about supper time, are you? In fact, when you start packing the lunch and start putting stuff in here and you think, gee, what do I need to get me through the morning? What do I need to get me through lunch hour? So when I get in the mid-afternoon and I'm still hungry, am I going to have enough to get through the day? You don't start thinking about, I wonder if we're going to have spaghetti for supper. I wonder if we're going to have steak, or if we're going to have goulash. Well, if you think of goulash, then you might want a bigger lunch. Just saying, I'm not a goulash fan. So I might pack an extra sandwich in there to get me through the day. But you're not thinking about the evening. You're not thinking about the future. You're just looking at today. And God is, and this is kind of an unusual example, but just kind of go with me because I like visual pictures. God has packed a lot of things in a lunchbox for you. He says, this is what you need for your daily bread. The first thing that you kind of get, if you're one of those kids that every now and then your mom would write you a note and tell you how loved you are, and how she can't wait to see you when you get home, and you're going to make it through the day. You know, what God has a love note for every one of us. And it's called his word. He says, I want you to know how much I love you and how desperately I want to connect with you. I want you to know that forever and ever, my unfailing love is going to be there for you. Because you know, one of our daily needs is that we need to know that we're loved, don't we? And God understands that daily need that we have. So in his word, he tells us that I love you. He tells the Israelite people, I love you. I care for you. I'm with you always. So the first thing that's in your lunchbox, that when you open up the lunchbox that God has packed for you, is you know you're loved. You know you're cherished because you are a child of the living God. You know that you're loved because he gave up his son. And he placed his son on a cross and crucified him so you could have a relationship with him. That's the ultimate love, he says. He says, this is how you know I love you. And then maybe even driving you to work, maybe there's a sunrise, some of you get up that early, and you can see the beauty of God's creation, and you go, wow, God, you're incredible. Or maybe that day your boss said something nice to you, and you're like going, that doesn't normally happen, that's God speaking. God going, you're loved. And so and the Israelite people, God did this to them too. He wanted them to know. Even from the beginning, as he takes them out of Egypt, he takes them through the Red Sea, if you remember the story, through the Red Sea, and all of a sudden you have the Egyptian army kind of pursuing them, and they begin to panic, and then all of a sudden, you know, Moses speaks to God, and then all of a sudden all the water collapses on all of the Egyptians and wipes out Pharaoh's army. And they write a song. This song is found in Exodus 15, verses 11. And this song is kind of a song of praise, but also a song reminding them that God's love is for them. And then in verse 11, it starts out, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. And what they're just talking about is when the water came crashing down on the Egyptians. And then in verse 13, it says, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. So just in that verse, it's like it's God saying, my unfailing love for you is going to deliver you. Deliver you from whatever you're facing. Deliver you from whatever fear that you have, whatever anxieties. My unfailing love is going to be there. And I want to deliver you into my presence. I mean, that's an incredible thing that God is constantly wooing us, constantly drawing us and wanting us to be in his presence, wanting us to understand that we are dearly loved. And his love is truly unfailing. And so he says, I put this in the box for you, just so you know I love you. And I care about you. Well, the second thing that's in the box is this guy. So you know who this guy is? Batman, right? My son, Nate, right now is going, that's mine after the service. What this is simply is a representation of God's angels' armies. And this is incredible in the Old Testament. Our daily bread. There's battles that are happening in our lives, and God is saying, I am sending my angel armies ahead of you, and my angel armies, they will take care of you. They, in fact, they are fighting the battle even when you don't even know you're in a battle. And he says, so this is in your lunchbox. So don't forget that I'm sending them. In Exodus chapter 14, verses 13, as God was leading the people out of Egypt again, and this all going back to the story, and they're panicked, and they're overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. They're right on the edge of the Red Sea, and they're going, oh no, Pharaoh's army, they're going to crush us. They're going to destroy us. And they're panicking, and they're whimpering and crying, and go, Moses, do something. And Moses turns to God. And this is the answer that he gave the people, and they were words that God gave him. In verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Boy, wouldn't we like that to happen to some people in our life? Aren't there people that you wish you didn't see again because of all the hurt that happens? We don't want to wish ill will on people. But God says, I'm fighting for you. Stand. And then look what he says in verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Because his angels are fighting for you. Not for your will to be done. Not for your pleasures and for your wants and your desires. But they're fighting that God's will be done in your life for you. And God is deliverance. I mean, all the time, if you spend time in the Old Testament at all, you'll see that God is constantly doing these things, fighting for his people, going ahead of them. They don't even have to fight. They just stand still. And if you look in Ephesians, and if you know the armor of God, where he talks about putting on the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, and the sword of truth, and the rest of the armor, he doesn't say to go out into battle, does he? That's why you're getting all dressed up with the armor. He says to stand. Stand still. Because God is fighting for you. He is going before you. And there's a time in Exodus, or it says this in verse chapter 23, verse 20. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared you. God wants to move us to a new place. He's bringing us to a place where his presence is. And he says, let me deliver you. And I'm sending an angel to do it. There's another time that the Israelites were going into battle as they're going into what's called the Promised Land. And there are enemies on the hill, and it's a big army. And if you think of the Israelites, they're probably not very well armed because they're not known as to be this big fighting army because they just came out of Egypt. They've really never been trained. But they're facing an army that's been trained, and then all of a sudden God does something. He sends an angel ahead of them in the form of a massive hive of hornets. The hornets go in, and do you think a soldier can do anything against the hornets? No, those hornets work underneath all the metal, get down, and they begin to sting them, and then all of a sudden they strip off their armor, and then they flee. God delivers them, and they just stand still. You don't have to be confident that part of our daily bread is that God is fighting on your behalf to deliver you into his presence, to have his kingdom done and his will done in you. And he wanted these people so bad to be in his presence. He keeps working and he keeps growing them. So you have the love of God that you can be reassured that was packed into that lunch to remind you. You have the angels, and then you have the third thing. It's kind of a several things. And the third thing, it's what, one of the things that God promises to meet is our physical needs. He's more than enough. He says, I'm more than enough to meet your physical needs that you have. Now, when my mom packed a lunch, she knew I was kind of picky. So she'd always pack a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Had to be grape jam. Don't give me no strawberry because strawberry had seeds. But I grew up, my wife makes homemade strawberry jam, and now that's all I eat. I don't even eat grape. And it was on this bread called Wonder Bread. You wonder if it's bread. You remember how you eat it, and it just kind of... And so that was one of the things that was in my box. And then my mom would pack these wonderful, delicious snacks called cheese curls. They're a light, fluffy, airy, man-made cheese chemical substance that is like crack. Okay? You just can't stop eating them. And so, I mean, every time I'd get into my box, I'd be like, oh, those Cheetos, I got to love those. Sometimes I'd get Doritos. But this is another thing that she would pack, and I was like, yeah, right. You know where that went? That went right to the trash usually. I had to confess that. My mom's not happy this morning. And then this is what I couldn't wait to get to. This has got to be the best thing that they've ever created in the world. Hostess. King-dongs, ding-dongs, whatever you want to call those things. This is something that is like a cake filled with deliciousness, and it's all man-made chemical garbage, isn't it? But man, I couldn't wait. And I can see right now, Matt, you are just drooling right now. And that looks like that looks for you. I mean, can you wipe the saliva off there a little bit? But then on those really good days, I don't know if I should bring it out in our culture nowadays, because this is a chemical thing that doesn't ever rot. It doesn't decay. It's going to be here through a nuclear war. And everybody in our day and age wants healthy stuff. Well, this is what we received. And, you know, once in a while she'd pack that. And I would be delighted to get that one right there. And this guy right there looks like he's looking for that. So he's like, and what about the cheese curls? I'm going to eat the cheese curls later. Sorry. So in your bag that God has packed, he says, I've given you everything that you need, including for your daily bread, I'll provide the food that you need. But sometimes God says that food is not all that we need. He's all that we need. That's why he says our daily bread. He's saying, I'm more than enough. And Jesus talks about the physical needs, not worrying about them, because some of us get so hung up in the physical and tomorrow. And wondering if we're going to have this thing or that thing. And the problem is we get so focused on what we want. Jesus said, I'm going to take care of your needs today. And your wants aren't necessarily your needs. A lot of us want a lot of things. We want the bigger car. We want the nicer car. We want the faster car. We want the TV. We want the Xbox. We want. And you don't get it. And then some people start going, God, you're not a good God. And God says, I'm about your needs for today. And then Jesus says it this way a little bit later in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body or what you're going to wear. Because Jesus is saying these things because he knows our temptation is always to worry about tomorrow. And the problem is we're always worrying about tomorrow instead of living in today, and you're missing the promises that God has for your today. And he says, then these promises that I have for you today are going to expire tomorrow because a different set of promises are coming tomorrow. He says, but live in today. Focus on today. And he says, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And in verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. In verse 29, yet I tell you, that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Again, Jesus is going back up to the start of the Lord's prayers, reminding us that we have a Father that knows what we need even before we ask. He's already taking care of those needs for us. He says, but you got to trust him. He says, but this is what you need to do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own. So simply, Jesus is trying to tell us to live in today. Don't get all worked up about tomorrow. Don't try to figure out the future. Don't start worrying about things that probably aren't even going to happen, because tomorrow, there's already troubles coming tomorrow, because we're in this world, and as long as we're in this world, troubles are coming. And they're going to be in all kinds of forms. But he says, don't worry, because I got it covered, because I'm enough for today. And when tomorrow comes, my promises for that day are going to be the same. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to watch over you. So don't worry about tomorrow. So the fourth thing that we have in the box is something that my mom would have never put in the box. But this is what God's packing. It's a candle and a lighter, right? And she knew that I'd torch something. And what this simply represents is God promises you and me that his presence will go with us. That his presence is with us wherever we are. There's a lot of people that are lonely. There's a lot of people that wonder if anybody cares. God says, my presence is always with you. I am with you. You are not alone. And Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 says this, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. In the Old Testament, the way that they could see God's presence it was a little bit easier than in our time. They would see a pillar of cloud by day to help protect them by the suns, and then there was a pillar of fire by night, which would give them light and would give them warmth. And when that pillar of clouds would move over here, which represented the presence of God, then the people would move over here. If it went over to the right, then they would go over to the right. If it went forward, they would go forward. But God says, what I have done for you, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I have placed my Spirit in you. His presence is now inside the believer. And it's in prayer where you and I start to connect with God at a deeper level, and he's telling us which directions to go. He's telling us what we should be doing. But it's not until you have that intimate prayer with God where you get to the point where you get to an end of yourself and you go, I trust you for my daily bread. I trust you for everything. Not my will, but your will be done. Holy, awesome, set apart God, my Father. And you have that intimate prayer, but all of a sudden you can start hearing the Holy Spirit telling you to go here and go there. He says, my presence is going to tell you where to go, and I'm with you, always. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. That's a promise from God. And he says, and today, I'm promising you that. And then there's one last thing in the box that's amazing, but I want to read this out of Exodus chapter 19 first. It says, then Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God says, I've carried you on eagle's wings. My presence is with you, and my desire is to bring you into my presence. And for you to experience my presence in a different way. And that is in you. You have to listen for that. And he says, that's my desire is for us to have that type of communion with him. That it's like we're one. And he says, he does this. He's the one who brings the deliverance. He's the one who initiates the relationships. And then the last thing that's in here is another promise. It's Christ. God says, I've given you Christ, and he will be with you. He is your daily bread. He is the very thing that you need to get through the day. He is more than enough. In John chapter 6, verses 57, it says, Jesus says it this way. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. In other words, whoever links themselves to Christ, whoever links themselves to the teachings and the cross and his death and his burial and his resurrection, whoever eats and drinks of that and their life becomes about that, they get life. And they live because of him forever. And then in verse 58, he says it this way. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. So Jesus is saying, yeah, manna is amazing. Yeah, manna gave temporary life. But for those of you who will eat of me, meaning place your life into him, live your life according to his teachings, live in the kingdom of heaven now, be his representative of the kingdom of heaven here on earth now, he says, you have eternal life with me. So this day that you're struggling with, this day where you're overwhelmed, this day when you don't know where to turn, Christ says you have a hope, you have a future, and that's found in him. Now, what's really, I think, is amazing is that Christ isn't just in the box, because we don't have a God that's in the box, do we? What Christ really is saying when he says, when we pray, that we're supposed to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What he's really saying, he says, I am the box. What he's saying, every day I'm offering you myself. Every day to make it through the moment, I am offering you all of me and everything that I have to offer. When you open up your tent to look outside, when you wake up in the morning, instead of seeing manna laying all over the ground, you have Jesus laying all over the ground for you. And he says, all you have to do is open up that tent and go out and dine with him. Be in his presence. Take what he has to offer for the day. I know it's a different mindset. But God says if we do this, we dwell in his presence. But he also keeps saying to his people, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. The question for you this morning as we close is, do you believe that Jesus is more than enough for you? Whatever you're facing right now, the circumstance that is overwhelming you, the thing that you're worried about tomorrow, maybe it's the class, maybe it's the prof, maybe it's what you're going to be when you grow up, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your income, maybe it's unforeseen things, maybe it's health. Do you trust right now and today that Jesus is enough? He says, I want you to pray this way. I want you to know that I am enough, and my promises are for today to be enough. I just want you right now, just as the band comes forward, is for you just to think of the one thing that you're struggling with. The thing that you're wondering about, and you're overwhelmed with, and it's creating anxiety and stress. And that you would, just in your own way, that you would bow your head right where you're at, and just say, God, here it is. Here's what it is. I'm trusting you today that you are truly more than enough. So we're just going to have a moment of silence as you bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're a God that gets us to try to focus on the right now. Because you want to deliver us into your presence, and you want to give us freedom, you want to give us victory, you want to give us hope, and you want to give us life. God, help us to trust that you are a God who has offered all of himself to us. And Lord, when we're fretting and when we're overwhelmed, that the power of your Spirit would well up in us, and we would understand what Jesus is saying, that you're enough for right now. And God, help us to rest in that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.